Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Matthew Totske, CEO at Larson Texts and Big Ideas Learning.
Welcome to Barron Talks, where we have discussions with people who are doing interesting things in the Erie community at Barron and beyond on WPSC Radio AM 1450, FM 107.1. My guest today is Matthew Totske. He is a graduate of Barron and the Chief Executive Officer of Larson Texts and Big Ideas Learning, a publishing house and research-based curriculum company whose textbooks are used by 5 million students every year. As I said, a graduate from way back in 1996. Welcome here, Matt.
Thank you very much, Ralph. I'm glad to be here.
Well, you know, I've heard your story a number of times. It's really fascinating to me. You started to get involved with Larson Texts as soon as you got here. But why don't you tell me a little bit about, you know, your path to coming to Barron? How did you decide to come to Barron? And you know, why did you decide to study mathematics and computer science?
Sure. So I am born and raised in the Erie area and a graduate of Cathedral Prep High School. And as I was figuring out what I might want to do with the rest of my life, as many, you know, 17, 18-year-olds are wont to do, I started to think about the people I could talk to get additional insight. And one of the professors at Barron agreed to sit down and have a conversation with me. And that was Dr. Salvia. Mm-hmm. And he talked to me about what my aspirations might be. And at that point in time, I was very interested in sports analytics, which is a huge career path that is available to folks today. But 25 years ago, was
not so much.
Very new, very new. And Dr. Salvia gave me great advice. And that was, you can go almost anywhere to get a great foundation as an undergrad. You need to find the school that works for you and what you want to do. And ultimately that led me to Barron, because Barron had a great mathematics program, also allowed me to study computer science while I was getting my mathematics degree, and it was a perfect fit.
I'll tell you, Dr. Salvia, I haven't heard that name in a while, but it certainly brings back great memories. Of course, he and his wife are still here in the Erie community. Really one of those people that you think about, he impacted so many students' lives, left a big impact on campus, was involved in governance, and of course was a great statistics faculty member. So did you ever end up taking any of his classes while you were here?
I did not. I never had the good fortune.
Well, pretty soon after you got here, I think you found yourself at Larson Tech. So tell us, how did that happen as a freshman, brand new student? Somehow you end up working at Larson Tech, so I think almost immediately.
Yeah, so that was an interesting summer for me. In August, I turned 18. Within a couple weeks, a family friend told me that there was an opening at Larson Texts for a technical artist. And a technical artist is someone who creates the more formal graphics that go into a textbook. So maybe the graph of y equals x squared or the graph of a magnetic field. It's not creative artwork.
Mm-hmm.
So my background in mathematics that I had in high school was enough to get me started, knowing that I was pursuing a degree in mathematics. And I said, sure, I'll apply. That time I was flipping burgers at a local burger joint and thought working within my major might be worthwhile.
Absolutely.
So I was not on campus more than a month, and I was working at Larson Texts as a technical artist.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Now, were you working on, you know, that their calculus textbook, that the very famous calculus textbook that has sold so many copies?
So that calculus textbook was one of my first projects as a technical artist. At that time, you know, a calculus textbook can generally be used for 3 semesters of 4-credit calculus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to at least contribute to that first semester during that edition of calculus development.
So what was different about their approach? There had been calculus texts all around for many years, mm-hmm. and they changed the market fundamentally. I mean, there was something different about that book.
Right. So there was an idea from Dr. Ron Larson, who was a professor at Barron and founded Larson Texts, that he could create a calculus textbook that was more student-friendly. What he saw in the marketplace was an opportunity to create something different. And what he did is he worked with a colleague, Dr. Bob Hostetler, who really was a master educator. And so they were able to combine that master education experience with that mathematician experience to create a textbook that respected the student learner from start to finish. And so what that really means is that you want to create clear and concise teaching instruction within the book. Mm-hmm. You want to create concise, fully stepped out examples within the text. And you want to respect how the student is learning in how you create the content that goes on each individual page. So even today, the Larson textbooks are some of the few textbooks where you won't find an example that starts on one page that flows to another.
Mm-hmm. All self-contained.
It's all self-contained within a single page so that when a student's learning, he or she's not flipping back and forth as they're trying to understand a particular concept.
Something so simple like that impedes learning, does it?
Absolutely it does, especially when a student is outside of a classroom, is home or in a dorm studying by themselves, and they need to reference an example as they're going through the homework set. So now, if I've got a reference within the homework set that clearly associates those exercises with an example, that example is self-contained within a page, now that student is still focused on the learning as he or she's trying to get help within the textbook, as opposed to, oh, this is yet another annoying thing, mm-hmm. as I'm already put in a mindset of struggling and being upset in some way that I'm struggling with this concept. Now my textbook is not helping me. It's an impediment. Yeah. And so it compounds the frustration.
You don't want to open it. It gets frustrating.
Right.
Well, you are listening to Barron Talks, and my guest today is Matt Totzke, one of our Barron graduates who is now the CEO of Larson Techs. I want to come back a little bit later and talk more about, you know, how, you know, with electronic resources. I mean, you're just a leader in this industry, and I don't think enough people in Erie know about what Larson Techs does, which is why we have you here today. But let's go back to when you first started. I mean, mm-hmm. you're the CEO now, but what was mm-hmm. the culture like then? That was truly, you know, a startup company. What was it like to work there back when you started?
It was, at that particular juncture, we had approximately 30 employees. And that's very different from today when we have about 125 employees.
Wow.
And at that particular time that I joined, we had just grown from simply a math authoring and content development house. So in other words, writing content for third-party publishers. We had acquired a local production company. So we added the capability to create technical and creative art, to lay out the pages specifically that would go into the textbook, and to begin software development. Mm-hmm. For some supplementary material that we wanted to develop. So we were just going through a bit of an evolution within the company of being pure writing and mathematics talent to now having more creative talent and more control over the entire development process from writing from a blank page to creating a final print textbook.
Did you see the potential back then of what electronic learning would become?
Absolutely. I joined Larson Techs in the fall of 1993. By the fall of 1994, we, as Larson Techs, were the first to put a calculus book on CD-ROM.
Wow. Something we don't even use now, but that was a big step. I'm sure you sat there and worried about, will people copy this? How will it be used? But it's still selling strong.
Absolutely. And not only that, by 1998, we were the first to put a calculus book on the internet.
Wow. Wow, true pioneers. So Matt, tell me, you started at Larson Techs as a freshman. Did you imagine you'd stay there after 4 years? Did you think you were going to the big city?
I absolutely did not think that I would be at Larson Techs 25 years later. I felt, as I mentioned previously, that as a technical artist, I could work within my field, pay off some of my student loans as I was still in school, and it gave me an opportunity to graduate and have some real work experience.
Mm-hmm. So when did you figure out that you might stay? And I mean, what was the decision to stay here in Erie and build this company?
Well, I was struggling about halfway through my education here at Barron at exactly what I wanted to do. My passion, I realized, was in computer science and software development, which was great because I was getting that experience here at Behrend, and the mathematics was teaching me how to solve problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very complimentary. But ultimately, I knew I was not going to be a teacher. I knew I was not going to be writing math textbooks. So what is it that I wanted to do with my career? And there was a undergraduate research project that required software development chops in order to be successful. And during the summer that I worked on that, it solidified in my brain that I wanted to be a software developer.
And that you would stay here and work on this.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. And what Larson Tech was doing at that time, as I mentioned with the CD-ROM development and the internet development, we were transitioning and forming a new division of software development generally. How were we going to create digital products? And so as I was graduating, an opportunity opened up within that software development division, and I took advantage of it.
Well, I think the community is, you know, it was fortuitous that you stayed. It was a great opportunity. So tell me, let's talk a little bit about the company and your philosophy. You've made your reputation as a publisher of student-friendly textbooks.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean?
So student-friendly, we touched on a little bit previously. So for higher education, it's a little bit different than K-12 education. But the idea behind student-friendly is in all cases, when we're developing a new feature or we're deciding about how we want to instruct a particular concept, we want to make sure we are respecting the learner. How are we facilitating the learning in the best way so that the student can be successful? And so we will, you know, lay out the book in a particular way. Our writers are tasked with writing to design. They write to design. And what that means is we've got an idea of how each page of the book is going to look.
Mm-hmm.
The features are well-defined before we even put, you know, pencil to paper or type on the keyboard these days. And so the writers are then expected to explain the concepts and deliver the examples within that design. And the design is crafted through paying attention to research as to how students learn. You know, how much of the space should be open? What type of imagery mm-hmm. really works to help break that cycle between in-depth learning and a chance for my brain to sort of catch up?
So what do you tell people when they, you know, you hear this way too often, I don't like math, I'm not good at math, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not a math person.
Mm-hmm.
How do you overcome that?
Well, that's a very cultural statement
mm-hmm.
where oftentimes people don't really think about what they're saying when that phrase is uttered, I'm no good at math. There's a follow-up to that, and that is, well, do you accept when someone says, I'm no good at reading?
That's a great point.
But we provide the support for that individual that's struggling with reading because we expect, as a culture, someone to be successful with reading. Why? Because we realize the importance in everyday life of a certain level of competency with English language arts. Likewise, mathematics, there's a certain level of competency for individuals to be successful in daily life. The issue is those statements allowed to be perpetuated that I'm no good, that I'm not a math person. Well, no, everyone's a math person to a point, and you need to learn those concepts that are relevant to you and what you choose to do in life.
What a powerful statement. I think we need to take what you just said and, you know, get that word out, because it is true. In the U.S., somehow we let people get away with that statement, and we really shouldn't, you know, mm-hmm. and you said it very powerfully. Well, let me ask this question then. So are the methods you're using, the electronic methods of delivery, are they actually changing the way people learn mathematics and other subjects? Can we be more effective in getting feedback and learning how the student learns, you know, using AI and other techniques?
Sure. There's a lot that we can do when we develop a product to really evaluate the best method for explaining a particular concept. And when we were developing simply for print textbooks, at times we would make compromises as to how we might explore a concept. Take, for example, a third semester of calculus when we're doing, you know, rotations of three-dimensional objects. There's only so much I can represent on a two-dimensional page to allow students to understand. But now, as the technology has progressed and the infrastructure within schools has been enhanced to the point where I can, utilize that technology in the classroom, I now can craft explorations in a different way that take advantage of the digital space. I can now allow a student to change a variable and see specifically how that one change affects the outcome of that exploration. And so now, you know, everything we do, we're trying to determine how to best use technology to enhance it.
Give them that real-time feedback so they can see the concept. Well, another thing that interests me is how do you find new markets? I mean, how do you figure out you need a new market for this new product or textbook or electronic edition? That seems to me to be the real trick because you continue to grow so rapidly.
Mm-hmm. Well, really, that's a lot of hard work, and a lot of it is brute force. We, now that we publish everywhere from kindergarten through college calculus, we have the opportunity to talk to a lot of different students, a lot of different teachers, and a lot of different parents. And through those conversations, we're able to identify opportunities. Like, what are teachers doing in a K-12 classroom in the U.S. today that they're struggling with? What things are parents concerned with their third grader in a mathematics classroom? As we're having these conversations, we're now sparking ideas as to, you know, we could probably solve this problem. We've got 45 years of experience in solving problems. This is one we want to tackle.
Well, you are listening to Barron Talks on WPSE Money Radio, and my guest today is Matt Totsky, CEO of Larson Techs. One thing you just brought up is interesting as well, and that's the role of parents in learning. And it sounds to me like you're creating resources and you're involving them in the learning process.
Yeah, that's true. And for us, most of our development effort that includes parents is in the K-12 classroom. And what we find is that parents are struggling with the fact that their children are learning mathematical techniques that are different than they might have experienced in the classroom. So there's a process of educating the parent as to why there might be a difference. And not only that, providing the parent with the support that he or she needs in order to help the student that might be struggling. So how can we connect this new method to the method you learned so that you can help your student?
I mean, I've heard that statement for a long period of time from my parents as well. What is this new math you're learning? And the reality is there's no new math. It's a really complicated subject that can be presented in many different ways and a lot of different ways to look at it. Is that the way you describe it to people?
Yeah, that's correct. Absolutely.
So what do you do to make it so that students don't lose interest in mathematics, to keep their attention?
So the way you do that is you give students context for the mathematics that they're learning. You want to make sure that everything that a student's learning, he or she can now connect that to something in their daily life. That's really the briefest answer, but also a very difficult challenge.
I think it's the most impactful, though. People like to know how what they're learning in their everyday life really matters and how they apply it to something useful. So, Matt, your company is growing really quite well, and you recently have started a $5 million expansion, building expansion. I should say, I think you're completing it. Can you tell us what led to that and all about that project?
So when Larson Text was first incorporated, it was as an authoring and content development company. And that work is all done for third parties. And we still do that work today. But in 2008, we had the opportunity to form a publishing company within the K-12 space. And that's work that we all do, that we do for ourselves, and that we own the intellectual property. And the reason that's important is that we now can make business decisions that we have complete control over how we might want to, the business to work. Ultimately, over the past 10 years, that company, Big Ideas Learning, has led to much opportunity for growth. And so as we began to add staff to support Big Ideas Learning, we outgrew our current office space. And that's the root of it, really, is that we're currently bursting at the gills.
It's a good problem to have. Mm-hmm. And I think it's fair to say big ideas learning. That was your baby, wasn't it?
It was in some ways. I was the original project manager for that project where we first created a grade 6, 7, and 8 program for Florida specifically. And there were a lot of folks instrumental in making that project a success. My job was to corral them in such a way that we hit the deadlines we needed to hit.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this question. A lot of people, I think, would be surprised to hear that you are in quite a few states. So how many different states are you in the U.S., and where are your markets?
We are in all 50 states in the U.S., and also just recently won a contract in Puerto Rico. So if you are in the United States, yeah, thank you. If you're in the United States in K-12 education, specifically in mathematics, you're going to run into Big Ideas Learning. Depending on the particular region or the particular grade band, Big Ideas Learning is anywhere from first to fourth in math education sales in K-12.
Wow. Wow. No less than fourth. That's pretty high up there.
That's right. And the three companies that we're competing with are billion-dollar education companies.
Wow. Right here in Erie, Pennsylvania. Well, then tell me, I mean, as you expanded in Mill Creek Township, I mean, you could have chose to go somewhere else. Why did you make the commitment to Erie?
So we made the commitment to Erie primarily because it's a perfect home for what Larson Tech and Big Ideas Learning is trying to do. There are several local colleges and universities that are turning out the types of students that we want to hire every year. And that is a pretty unique situation when I look to companies that are similar to us. Most of the times when they are recruiting, their recruitment is much more difficult than ours.
As I think we all know, we are, you know, economies that grow. You're really in the fight for talent, and that's what it's all about. So let me take that. You know, when I went out there and visited you this past summer, I saw a lot of Barron graduates, a tremendous number. What kind of work do they do for you?
So Barron graduates for us can pretty much do any task that I give them. So we have several Barron graduates that are mathematicians, that are writing and editing textbooks. We've got software developers. We have folks that are in the marketing department, social media. We've got folks within, you know, the back office and administration, so your information technology or your accounting. I've got Barron graduates throughout the organization because we've maintained such close ties with Barron ever since Dr. Larson was a professor here.
Well, I'll tell you, we appreciate it. It means a lot. And this whole idea of, you know, what we espouse here, which is the open laboratory philosophy, it is having our students, while they're here, having experiences working for great companies and organizations. You just cannot beat the opportunity to drive. You're not all that far from campus. And, I mean, what a great internship experience. But I also saw that there are a lot of senior leaders there as well that I noticed were Barron graduates too. So we're pretty proud of that.
That is right. I'm a perfect example for our human resources department to where opportunities exist within the company if you're looking to grow with it in a certain way. And I've been able to take advantage of a lot of those opportunities to eventually become CEO. And our senior leadership, likewise, has taken advantage of opportunities and grown with the company as well. And so I have a lot of very talented and experienced leaders within the company.
Do you have advice for our students today? You know, as they're going through their education, as they're looking to work for a company like you, what things would you tell them?
The first thing I'd say is to take your education seriously. There is an opportunity while you're in college to learn many things that you will not be exposed to but mm-hmm. for the college experience. And if you take that seriously, you may decide later in life that why you showed up on campus ends up being different when you leave. And so that was certainly true for me. I had a certain level of expectation. I mean, I think most 17, 18-year-olds think they might have life figured out by the yeah. time they arrive. But 3 or 4 years later, that outlook on life changes quite a bit. And if you take the learning seriously enough, then you're equipped to deal with what life is going to throw at you.
You know, that's great advice. And I will tell you, our faculty will tell you, one of the things we hear constantly from our students, and we hope we change their perception. But what we hear is, oh, geez, I'm a such and such major. I don't need to learn that. We have to change that viewpoint, and it's not always easy.
For sure. For sure. And as a employer, when I'm looking to hire a relatively new graduate that has a breadth of experience or a breadth of learning is a certain cut above someone who's particularly focused. Because what I want is somebody who can solve problems, who can step back and think globally about a particular issue, and not just put my head down and focus in a very narrow way.
You know, that's one of the things we try to point out to our students is you can be a lone wolf in certain corporations, but I don't think those days are around very much. You have to interact with others. You have to be able to work on a team. You have to also have the skills across the board to have an impact.
As I mentioned, our competitors are billion-dollar corporations. And so there's an opportunity within an organization that large to put your head down and just do your work. But as an organization with 125 individuals that's trying to compete with the large organizations, mm-hmm. we need to be much more nimble. Mm-hmm. We need to continually set the bar that our competition follows as opposed to playing catch up. And for that to be successful, I need people that are very well-rounded and that are able to think at a higher level than just a narrow field.
And they have to be very entrepreneurial, I'm sure. So those billion-dollar competitors, do they know about you? Are they worried about you? What do you know? I mean, they must be looking at you and saying, this is interesting. This company in Erie, PA is competing with us this way.
Well, for sure, the competition knows we're there. When you had, before Big Ideas Learning began publishing material, you essentially had three major publishers splitting mathematics in the United States. And those three publishers, between them, captured 85 to 90% of the market. If you're looking at Big Ideas Learning's market share now, we've only recently published kindergarten through fifth grade, but our market share is pushing above 20%. So the competition knows we're there because now the 85 to 90% is split four ways instead of three.
Wow.
So it puts a target on your back.
Let's switch to one last subject. Larson Techs has created a very nice and generous scholarship for Penn State Barron students, $500,000. And I want to thank you for doing so. It really has a huge impact and helps with access and affordability for all. But how important is it for companies to be citizens and engaged in their community?
It's extremely important for the simple fact that companies benefit from those students that are coming through the community. What we're doing is we're making an investment in the future of our company and its growth. That's really the bottom line for us. And the scholarship is one way for us to do that. We do strategically also look for other community investments that we can make. And as a student, if you come to us as an intern, we will pay you and we will also offer you tuition reimbursement.
Wow, that's a great deal. Well, we're coming close to the end of our time. Is there anything else you'd like to add today, Matt?
Well, really, I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about Larson Techs and Big Ideas Learning. What I'd like to say is that as a company who is invested in the Erie community, it's really just appreciated that someone is willing to talk about our story.
Well, we're happy to help you get the word out, and likewise, we really appreciate all that Larson Techs does, Big Ideas Learning. The connection to campus, and like you said, you've got a great story that needs to be told here in Erie. My guest today has been Matt Toski, the CEO of Larson Techs and Big Ideas Learning. I'm Dr. Ralph Ford, Chancellor of Penn State Barron. This is Barron Talks on WPSE Money Radio.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again on Saturday at 9:30 a.m. for an encore presentation of the Business Spotlight.